And welcome back once again. It's Will, along with our host, Christy. And today we're talking about the new adolescents.
The new adolescents, the new young people, our new generation coming right up behind us real fast, too.
Yeah. And we mentioned how fast this whole technology bubble has just blown lives crazy. The connection is going almost, not for generation, it's almost like daily connection is being lost between you and your kid or your child and the earth and the ground and the world around them. And a lot of it, I think a lot of people can identify the loss of empathy these days. Now, we're seeing in my generation, there's a few that, for whatever the case may be, but I think it's getting almost more and more, I guess, possibly that this new generation is losing that empathy, not only for their fellow human beings, for their fellow animals, almost for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that, you know, when we're talking about tools, this is another tool that we can use, which is how do we connect with our kids and how do we have empathy? And, you know, expressing empathy is going to be maybe new for a lot of people, you know, even for myself. You know, I never really heard those types of things before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Empathy, yeah. You know, it was always, you can play it in your head, you know, the things that you heard from your parents when you were struggling with something, you know, should do this, should do that. Why didn't you think about that? And again, it's okay. Like, that is okay that's how we grew up. It's okay. Let's just call it what it is. It's right. The elephant in the room. That is how we grew up.
Yeah.
So there's no point in shaming ourselves into shoulda, woulda, couldas anymore. But I want to encourage people to say those things out loud or in your head and put on the perspective or have the empathy of being an adolescent and hearing those things.
Okay, for those who don't understand what empathy means, what is empathy?
Empathy.
It's varying degrees of how we can explain it. But from basic, it's identifying, in my case, almost identifying the love for a fellow human being.
Yes, and
basic.
And I would say what putting yourself in their shoes is the next step of not just the idea but the action of the word empathy is put yourself in somebody else's shoes and situations. Put yourself there. Imagine that you're there.
Okay.
Of course, come back to your own shoes.
Right. Yes.
But that's what helps you to create that deep connection. And maybe that's, you know, a lot of us, we don't have that time to even figure out which size shoes we are in.
True.
Right. Yeah. So how can we put ourselves there? So yeah. I think maybe a little call to those that are listening is this might encourage you that, you know, you might need to do a little bit more extra healing. Maybe you do need to talk to a therapist or a support group or just learn about yourself, you know, so that way when we are having empathy in these discussions, you know, you'll be aware of the things that maybe make you feel triggered or uncomfortable, and it might trigger some stuff that you maybe haven't dealt with yet. And that is okay, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Because our kids are here to teach us about ourselves.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And also, your kids will walk with you.
They will.
They will walk with you.
They're your biggest cheerleaders. They're like, come on, I came here to help you with this. Keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the things that we're talking about seem very, very big and expansive. But again, when I'm sharing these things, it is from experience that, you know, some of the things that I shared earlier were very difficult to go through with my daughter. But holy smokes, it's okay.
Right.
Like, we're okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world didn't fall apart. We didn't crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
We're okay. And now we can really start to talk about ideas, future ideas, little things that she might want to try. The other day I dropped her off at summer camp during the morning. And it was her first day there. First time at this camp, first time at this facility. And she started having anxiety. And I was like, what's going on? Like, we talked about this, you know, I told you what was going to happen. We agreed that this is what you're going to do because you're staying up all night on your phone and sleeping all day. So I knew I needed to address this as a parent. And I tried different things. I tried to give her like schoolwork to do while I was at work, but she didn't, you know, she had grandma watching her. So she got to do whatever she wanted. Anyway, as she's getting walking up to this space, I could see that she's getting anxious. And because I had given myself enough time, I wasn't in a rush, right? I was like, okay, come on, let's go. Let's just get in there. Just nobody cares. Da, da, da. You know, which I've done before. Mm-hmm. I was able to slow down and say, what are you feeling right now? well, I'm feeling anxious to meet new people. I said, well, that makes sense. Yeah, I feel anxious too when I have to meet new people. It's kind of scary. And I said, can I show you something? You know, I said, when I feel anxious, I sit down. And so I tried to like sit down on the floor. She's like, no, mom, people are watching us. So, you know, I still got some work to do, but it's okay. But she was able to kind of calm down. I said, do you want to just like look in the check it out first? Like I like to scope it out first before I go into a room. And that's true. As an adult, I still do that. So she kind of peeked in and looked at, you know, the kids in the group and what the vibe was. And she's like, oh, okay. I was like, you know what? You don't have to do anything other than just have fun while you're here. You know, you don't have to be the leader of the class. You don't have to take care of anybody. You're the superheroes week. You guys are going to be creating superhero stuff. So just go in and have fun. That's all you got to do. And tell me if you had fun or not. And if you didn't, then maybe we'll look at a different camp. But, you know, this is kind of what we talked about. So then she kind of was able to figure out. And she was able to put her mind in whatever order she needed in order to walk through those doors. Okay. And she was okay. And she ended up having an okay day.
Nice.
But, you know, there's an example of where I did it right.
Mm-hmm.
I got probably a lot that I didn't do right. But we're not going to focus on that.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's what that empathy is saying, okay, when have I felt like this as a parent? What helps me? You know, that's so powerful. What then you think about it. Yeah, what has helped me? Because we think that we might transfer that knowledge through our actions, and sometimes that's true. But it's really good to get the kids and ourselves and the youth to like understand on a really deep intellectual level, which is, yeah, I struggle with anxiety too. Mm-hmm. And this is what helps me.
And even just identifying with them, saying, oh, it's not just me. Say, no, I feel that way too. It's like, oh, and right away that just gives a little comfort, right? That they're not alone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They don't want to feel alone. So then because she doesn't feel alone, she's able to put herself kind of in her own order. I'm not saying you shouldn't feel anxiety. You know, what I told you yesterday, we were going to do this. You should have, like, that feels so emptying, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas I felt that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. Well,
a lot of times, it's almost the fear. Like, what's going on there? Like, am I going to fit in? Like, am I going to need anybody? Am I going to be, right? And in reality, there's nothing, right? You're just building yourself up for whatever you think is there. But really, it's nothing. It's just, it's wide open. I love the way you said, just go in and have fun, right? Because that's all it is.
That's all it is.
Kid, go have fun. Don't worry about all the big stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry about anything too big. Just go ahead and have fun, relax, read, do whatever, make stuff, color.
Make a memory. Now, okay, empathy, connection. Now, you said sacred laws of children.
Yes.
This is kind of interesting. This is. I want to get into this because we don't have a lot of time, but we have as much time as we can. So the next topic here is sacred laws for children.
Yes. So, I'm not necessarily, I'd say, an expert. And of course, every community might have a little bit of a different narration, I'll say.
True.
And I think, you know, that's important for us to remember and to find maybe those times where when we're ready to receive that information, our creation stories, our community's creation stories. But what I do know is that children, you know, make that plan with Creator to come into our lives as adults, and that they're there to teach us about ourselves, the things that we need help with. And I think that when you can view your youth or your child in that way of they're not giving you a hard time, they're pointing at something that you wanted to heal within yourself. Sorry, I'm going to...
No, that's...
It's
no,
emotional.
It's right there.
Right?
You know, and again, we can say all these things. People say, oh, it's so easy just to say that. But once you've kind of experienced that, even just a little glimmer, it's like, oh, that's what it's about. And I love the fact that you pointed out, we're not here to guide them. We're here for them to guide us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is so, so meaningful, so powerful right there. A lot of people think... They, for me, like, again, from my past life, I can almost say, you know, that's what I thought my role was to provide, was to work, to pay the bills, to pay the food, make sure that they have everything they need. Not that they're walking with me on that. Like that's so powerful when you said that. Like,
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, of course, colonization, residential schools just stripped us of that, that knowledge and that connection and that understanding, that in-depth understanding of the gifts that, you know, we're carrying with our kids. But I think I want to contemporize it a little bit. And I will say that, you know, if there's one thing you can do as a parent, and maybe you're not as far in your healing journey as you'd like to be, and I've been there too, not so much with my daughter, but with my nephew, it's really important that we don't cross that line of drinking with our children.
Okay.
You know, even as we become adults and youth, just don't break that law.
Yeah.
And I think when you hear it, you're like, yeah, duh. But, you know, the alcohol can kind of make us think different things and not think correctly, right? Yeah. Again, don't shame ourselves.
Drinking, drugs, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole line. And that doesn't mean just sharing. That means like in the same environment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because that's the environment I grew up in, where there was a party almost every weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And waking up at, you know, 6 a.m. and there's guys, strangers passed out and there's that smell, right? And that's... I'm not saying, well, obviously it wasn't right, but I can't fault my parents because they had their reasons, right? But from my point of view, that's not how I raised my kids, right? And again, I was a little messed up. I was obviously a little messed up thinking I had everything right. But in reality, I missed out on that empathy, that compassion, that growing up with my children, as opposed to providing and working and da-da-da-da, towing the line.
Yeah,
right? Absolutely. Again, I'm grateful to my granddaughters that I still have that chance. Have that chance. And trying your best to be the role model, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, when you look at it, if your kids are online all the time, where are they getting their role models from?
Exactly.
Right? What is coming through their phone that they think, oh, that's how we're supposed to act?
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And I think again, the negative sides of what we're talking about, they can feel and seem so big. But once you take all of that power away from it, and if you just focus on powering empathy, love, connection, and being free from shame, those are all things that we can all do.
Yeah.
They're totally within our grasp. And so it's not about how do I become bigger and stronger than the negative energy. That's not what it is. It's how do I bring more love and light and protecting that little light inside of them, you know, those little spirits, those little star spirits, and how do I protect that more? And how do I actually, you know, feed into their energy and my energy through that love and kindness and that connection, right? Like that's where that's where we got to focus on is how do we build that up? Not about fighting that other ball of wax.
Right.
Because it could all, the grids could go down.
Exactly. And you just what you said, the love and the empathy, you can pretty much guarantee that they're not getting that from social media.
They're not.
Maybe they're thinking they're getting that, but in reality, that's not what it really is, right?
My daughter was, so again, I got a lot of experience with this. She was using a chat AI app and so it was like a talking app and I'd be like, who are you talking to? And then, oh, nobody. And then of course I had to, you know, go be nosy and figure it out. And I was like, dang, you know what? She's wanting somebody to talk to. Duh. Again, I didn't freak out about what she was saying or all that. I just decided to delete the app, deactivate it, and recognize that she just wants somebody to talk to about her day. So how can I incorporate more time of doing that with her? And laughing with her and joking with her. And it's almost like that humility part that we got to remember is important, even with our kids.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because I know that we got like the rules and respect and discipline kind of down. But I think sometimes we forget that humility that we need to have in just being another human being. Mm-hmm. So that way, I hope that like our teens are the ones, or that we become the ones that our teens and youth will ask for help.
Yeah.
Rather than... AI or some unknown source or some unknown person online.
AI just scares me. I don't know. I'm just like, what are you talking? Where do you get all your information from? Now, when we talk about role models, obviously, it's, you know, walking the red road and what have you. But whenever somebody said, be a role model to me, I was almost negative. It almost like, to me, it kind of kept me in a little compartment.
Okay.
I couldn't really explore myself because I had to walk this road. Right. Now, saying that, as a parent, you have to realize that your day-to-day actions, your outlook on life, how you treat other people is being picked up on by your children, probably without you even knowing it. So that is part of being that role model, is how you, how your kids perceive you, I guess. Right?
Yeah. So you know, again, we're identifying what kids identify within us that they're trying to help us with is, if we're not able to handle something such as our mental health in a good way, it's not really fair to assume or to put the burden on them to handle their mental health any better than we can.
Right.
Right. So if we're kind of disassociated, distracted, you know, we're not, I guess, tending to it, not really fair to get our kids to do that too.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to role model. I feel this way. I feel that way. I feel sad today. You know, my daughter and I have been working on, making sure that she doesn't take on any of my emotions. Like, if I'm not having a great day, it's not really her fault or her responsibility to fix it. Just let mom do her thing, and mom will come around when she's ready. Right. And so I think that's another important thing, you know, is to have those boundaries again, to not make it their problem. If, and expressing that it's not their fault that we're not maybe in the best mood. Cause sometimes kids will put, if we don't say anything, we're just on our phone doom scrolling and we look depressed, the kids are going to feel a way about that.
Yes.
They're going to put their own narrative to it if we don't express it and say it. You know, I just had a bad day today. I need like a few minutes, you know.
And even some kids will take in that feeling and take it with them. Like, mom and dad are not in a good mood. I can't be in a good mood either.
Yes, totally. I will say that when teens are doing well, when they can. So when they're feeling well, when their mental health is going well, when they have the tools to do what they need to do, they can do well. It's when they don't have those tools, or they don't know how to deal with the problem, or maybe they have a lack of skills, that they're not doing well. So again, if you're thinking about a youth who's not doing well, it's not so much that they're trying to be difficult, or, you know, there's no intentionality behind it. If we put on the hat of, maybe they don't know how to deal with this problem, how can I maybe help? How can I show empathy? Not advice, not shoulda, coulda, woulda. Okay.
Right.
Big difference.
Yeah.
I'll try to share another really quick story, in regards to my nephew. He was in high school at the time, and he was starting to miss school, which he didn't really do very much. He was always going to school, started to withdraw in class. And so his teacher, tag teacher, had phoned me and said, "Hey, is everything okay? Your nephew's kind of, we're noticing something's going on with him." And I was like, "Well, we did just lose, my mom, his Nana. So I figured it was grief." And so I talked to him about it after school, and I started to get like, I guess I was fearful and I was scared and I was worried, you know, about him. And so I portrayed that on him. But what it looked like probably from the receiving end is a lot of anger and frustration with how he's not able to cope.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And so I was like, "Well, you need to talk to somebody. If you're not going to talk to me, I'm going to send you to the counselor." And he said one thing that was really profound at that point. He said, "Why would I talk to a stranger about my problems?" And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I'm a therapist, so I have that all the time. But it was curious to me in that he's not needing me to push him off to somebody else. He wants to connect with me. And I'm messing it all up as I normally as I've done many times before. But I'm glad that he at least said that, because it switched my brain from, he needs to connect. Okay, Christy, calm down. Okay. So I remember saying, okay, you do want to connect with me. You don't know how to ask yet. And you're not going to connect with me when I'm yelling at you, basically, because I'm afraid. Yeah. Right. So I thought, okay, Christy, just calm down. And, you know, I said, "Okay, kiddo, well, you just let me know when you want to talk, but you know, I'm worried about you, and I'm here for you." You know, that's all I could get at that time. But about a day goes by, and he comes back up and he says, "Okay, Auntie, I'm ready to tell you what's been going on." And it didn't have anything to do with the grief, actually. He was getting pictures of somebody that he was seeing that was self-harming.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't know how to handle that. And I'm like, dang, No doubt, kiddo, no doubt. I wouldn't know how to handle that either. So because he was able to feel safe to talk to me, we were able to get to the root of the problem, not wait, you know, a couple weeks to figure it out. I was able to connect with how I need to connect with the supports, you know, school and things like that, and help him, you know, in that instance of, I remember asking him, how does that make you feel? And he said, like, I'm not good enough. And I'm like, wow, profound. So again, to the parents, the caregivers, don't make assumptions, ask some questions, be curious, show empathy, and they don't need you to figure it out for them. They just need to feel connected with their feelings. And then they can oftentimes figure out a lot of things on their own too. That's what we're teaching them by that connection. But they need to feel that connection first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They need to feel confident enough to find out the answer for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that what they're feeling is not, is normal.
Yeah, normal.
Right? Because right. Once you're like, okay, this is normal. Next step. What is right. The next step that I can do for myself? But if you don't feel connected, you're just lost in that confused world of, is this normal? Is this not normal? Should I be feeling this way? And what doesn't help is us saying, you should have done this and that. You just kind of breed into that confusion state and not connected, not disassociated, right. Confused.
And taking from there, instead of feeling, making them feel guilty and negative, we got to make them feel, oh, okay. It's not that big. It's not that big.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can do this. This is normal. She's dealt with it. That. And then now you might be able to bring in some of, well, when I went through this, this is kind of how I felt, right? And then now you bring in maybe some of those parts of your life and experience that you've been kind of holding by the wayside, mm-hmm. waiting for the perfect moment to share, you know? And now they've been engaged, though, in what you're saying, you know, not from a top-down looking, right? But from eye to eye. Yeah. And I'll say that's another really important thing, too, is to connect that way.
Eye to eye level.
Connection. Human.
That human connection, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So not only are you helping out by releasing it, but mm-hmm. then they are saying, oh, yeah, it's not just me.
Mm-hmm.
The group, everybody goes through this.
To share something with the listeners, a way to maybe talk about empathy, talk about connection, talk about, you know, healing. I have this book, it's called Ceremony, and it's written by Brianna Wiest. And there's just little short kind of poetry or paragraphs that I find that really connect with what we're talking about here. So I'll just start here. Eventually you find yourself standing firmly within all you feared would never come. One day you wake up on the other side. It is at this moment that you must remember the truth you forgot at the beginning. We didn't come here to suffer, we came here to grow. When we resist the elements of growth, when we are too attached to what must pass, we end up stuck and longing. The truth is that life will change, and we will eventually harvest every seed of effort and love and truth we ever planted. When we ask to greet a new horizon, we have to learn to embrace the journey that will get us there.
So very true. Mm-hmm. So very true. Christy, once again, thank you for joining us here. In closing,
anything else? No, I hope everybody has a good week and just embraces some of the things that we've shared today and to take care of themselves. If our conversations spurred some questions and you'd like to talk, you can reach me at 306-216-0040. 306-216-0040.